Hallelujah. Welcome to the presence of God to worship Him. Yes, God is Spirit. So God is in the very place where you are to receive our worship. So this time, may God bless all of us so that our worship may be acceptable by God as a true worship. Let us make our Father God happy through our worship service. Amen. This time, shall we turn to the Word of God, the book Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse from 25 to 29. Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 25 to 29. Let us read together from verse 29, verse 29, sorry, 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him, God, who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is consuming fire. Amen. The book Hebrews is a book of warning as well as a book of encouragement. Also, a book of big challenge, as well as a book of assurance, confidence. As we read just now, verse 25 starts like this. See to it that. What does this mean? See to it that. See to it then means be careful, be vigilant. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, everything that was written in the past was written to warn us, also to encourage us, so that we may have hope with perseverance, endurance. Shall we see again? First verse, verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him, God, who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth? How much less, also how much more, will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Yes, in the past, God spoke to the people of Israel through Moses many, many times. Receive his word, obey his word, and then you will live and be blessed. But they refused God, God's word spoken to them through Moses on earth, so they could not escape judgment. As a judgment, as a result of judgment, as we know in the history of Israel, everyone who was 20 and older dies in the wilderness, except only for two faithful men, Caleb and Joshua. Imagine that picture. A million plus dead bodies littered the desert. Considering this inexorable penalty for their disobeying God's all three messages given to them through Moses, how much greater will the punishments in the greater instance of disobeying God's heavenly message of grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. As we know, Hebrews starts like this, chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke for our fathers through human prophets, through many ways and many, many times. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed as the heir of all things and through whom God made the universe. What is the heavenly message of God through Jesus Christ? Yes, the heavenly message of God through Jesus Christ is a message of salvation, gospel message, which is called the good news of great joy for all the people eternally. Already, this same book, chapter 10, verse 28, makes it very clear. Anyone rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And how much more will there be greater punishments if a man rejects the message of Jesus Christ? As we know, Moses it was just only transmitter of God's oracle, God's word. That is to say, Moses just God's mouthpiece through which God spoke. But Jesus himself is God. His word is direct word of God. John starts like this. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. That life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness. This word became human beings like you and me and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says, my word, his word, Jesus' word will never pass away. Shall I read one more time? See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? I said already this book, Hebrews, is book of warning, also book of encouragement. As a warning, negatively, if anyone rejected the law of Moses, he received a great penalty, punishment. Then if somebody rejects the word of Jesus Christ, how much greater punishments you will receive? This is a big warning from this book, negatively. Also, as a book of encouragement, positively, if anyone obeyed the law of Moses, he received much blessing. Then, if we receive and obey the word of Jesus Christ, how much more blessing we will receive? This is encouragement given to us through this book, Hebrews. Then what shall we do at this moment? Shall we read next two verses? Verse 26 says, at that time, his voice God's voice. At that time, God's voice shook the earth. But now, he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. At that time means the time when God came down on Mount Sinai to give them the law, commandments. We saw this story last Sunday briefly. When God came down on Sinai, Mountain Sinai, his voice, God's voice, shook the mount. So the Mount Sinai trembled violently, greatly, and all people terrified with fear. They could not approach God. They could not touch the mount. Even Moses terrified. Whole mount was wrapped with smoke because God came down as consuming fire. God was so holy, so great, so awesome, so bright, so they could not approach. They could not see God directly. The people said to Moses, you yourself say to us, if we hear God's voice directly, we will die. This event happened about 3,500 years ago. At that time, God's voice shook the earth. Then at that time, the things God shook, no more now, all is gone, no more. Then this same verse says, at that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more. What does this mean? Once more. Once more means in the soon future. Once more means final, ultimate. One more time, finally, he will shake again. 3,005 years ago, God shook only the earth. But once more, finally, ultimately, in the end, God will shake not only the earth, but also what? But also the heavens. This means when God shake all things, not only the earth, but also heavens, the earth, the world, the universe, all created things, all visible things, all seen things, all materials will be shaken and will be destroyed and disappear. The earth, the world, human kingdoms, animals, all peoples, all created things, all visible things will be destroyed and disappear. And new age will begin again. As we know, history is the story of the past. In our history, we learned there are many kingdoms disappeared, destroyed. Huge human kingdoms. Babylon kingdom, no more. Assyria kingdom is gone also. Persia kingdom, gone. Roman empire is gone. Their story is history to us. Like this, our today's human kingdom's story will be history to our future generation someday. It means all human kingdoms. Today there are more than 200 human kingdoms, human countries, nations, but all human kingdoms will be shaken and destroyed and disappear. And new ages will begin again. Among all creations, imagine, among all creations, among all materials, all human kingdoms, which can remain unshakable when God shakes? nothing, nobody. There is only one thing which will remain as unshakable and remain forever. That is the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his people who belong in his kingdom. So what shall we do as we live in this shakable world? Do you know we are living in this shakable world? What shall we do? So if we are really, really wise, we should build our house, we should build our life on unshakable ground, unshakable foundation. And what is unshakable foundation? You know, the unshakable foundation is only obedience and surrender, commitment to the word of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says, heavens, the heavens and earth will disappear, but my word, my people, my kingdom will never, never disappear. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, on unshakable foundation. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. It did not fall. It will stand firm because it has its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. It fell with a great crash because it has its foundation on sand, on shakable grounds. Remember Jesus' words. The heavens, the earth, all things, all materials, all visible things will pass away. But my words, my kingdom, my people will never pass away. Do you belong to Jesus' kingdom? May God bless all of us so that we may belong to Jesus' kingdom as his children, as his people really. Amen. Shall we see last part? Then if we really people of Christ's kingdom, what shall we do? How shall our lifestyle be? Shall we see? Verse 28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, whose kingdom? Christ's kingdom, God's kingdom. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, what kind of kingdom? Shakeable kingdom? No, unshakable. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Let us be thankful. Amen. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. I said already, but this verse 28, makes it very clear. Only Jesus' kingdom, only Jesus' word, only his people shall remain as unshakable and remain forever and ever in eternity. So, if we are really children of God and people of Jesus' kingdom, first, what shall we do? First, we must give thanks to God. Let us be thankful. Bible says, give thanks to God under all any circumstances. Can you give thanks to God under any, every situation, surroundings, circumstances? How is it possible? If we have assurance, confidence, I belong to kingdom of Christ, it is possible. We can give thanks to God under any, every situation. Amen. We must give thanks to God for his faithful answering to our prayer. Also, we must give thanks to God for his goodness, for his character, for his qualities, for his attributes. Also, we must give thanks to God for his faithful provision for our needs. Also, we can give thanks to God for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our mission, for our ministry, for our kids, parents, for our family, for our jobs. Also, we must give thanks to God for what we have, also for what we do not have. And more than anything else, we must give thanks to God for salvation, which can be found only in Jesus Christ. We must give thanks to God for what Jesus has done for us, also what he is doing for us. We can approach God with thankfulness. With thankfulness, we can worship God. If we really belong to kingdom of Christ, our final, our total job we should do in this world is, in one word, worship. Shall we say it together? Worship. Worship. This verse says, let us be thankful and so worship. Yes, we are gathering here to worship God. Worship. So worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Final verse says, our God is a consuming fire. Worship. We know God is a spirit. God is looking for true worshipers. What is worship? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the mercy of God, to offer your bodies, to offer your life as holy and pleasing to God. This is spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be find what God's will is. He is good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, you are planned for God's pleasure, God's happiness, God's enjoyment. You know, the moments when you are born, the moments you are born, God was there as an unseen witness smiling at your birth. Your birth in this world gave great pleasure to God. Do you know that? As we know, God has no obligation. God has no duty. God has no responsibility to create you and me. But God chose to create us for his own pleasure, for his own enjoyment. We exist for the pleasure of God. So, living for the pleasure of God is the first purpose of your life, my life. As we know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for what? For the glory of God. What does this mean? It means we are created to please God, to make God happy. So know that you are not insignificant. Do you know that? You are not unimportant. You are not meaningless because you are created by God's plan for his own pleasure. As we know, also God has abundant emotions like you and me. God can feel sometimes angry. Also, God can be angry like you and me. God can be jealousy. God can be sorrowful. God can be sad. God can feel mercy, pity, compassion, sympathy. Also, God can love. God can hate also. God can have pleasure, delightment, satisfaction. God can enjoy. God can rejoice. Even God can smile, laugh. Then, bring pleasure to God is called worship. Let me repeat Romans chapter 12, verse 1, slowly. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So worship is service to God. Worship is to serve God, to make Him happy and satisfied and pleasant. Yes, worship service can remind us of singing song, music, listening to sermon, prayer, announcement, Lord's Prayer, communion, fellowship, decision of commitment, offerings, many, many things. Yes, they can be parts of worship service. But we must know worship is by far more than all of them. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not part of your life. Worship is your life and my life. Shall we say it together? Worship is my life. Worship is my life. Worship is my lifestyle. Anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Every activity can be transformed into act of worship if we do that for pleasure of God. Let me repeat this one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, every day we eat and drink. Also unbelievers eat, right? Even animals eat and drink. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, for the pleasure of God, for the happiness, for the satisfaction of God. How is it possible for us to do all to the glory of God? Also, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, with all your mind, as working for the Lord Jesus Christ, not for men. So whatever we do, do it for the glory of God, means can be done by doing whatever we do, do that as if we were doing that for Jesus and by carrying on continual conversation, communication with Him while we are doing that. In other words, by doing whatever we are doing for Jesus to testify about Jesus Christ, that action, that behavior, that events can be accepted by God as true worship, real worship. So worship is not just a formal performance or a ceremony. Worship is our natural lifestyle as His real children in this world. And last verse says, our God is a consuming fire. We are familiar with this sentence already several thousand years ago in Exodus, God appears, God came on Mount Sinai as a consuming fire. Do you remember? In Mount Sinai. Then this sentence says, this sentence uses present tense. God is, not was, in the past. This sentence does not say God was long, long time ago consuming fire. But this sentence as present tense, God is a consuming fire. What does this mean? The same God of Zion, the God of Zion is the same God as the God of Sinai long, long time ago. God never changes. So when we come to worship, we must keep both mountains in view. The approachable Zion with his consuming love. Also, the unapproachable Sinai with his consuming fire. God is both consuming fire, jealous God. So we must worship alone. God is so jealous because he loves us so much. He is so jealous. If we worship other gods except for our real God, he cannot stand with us because he is consuming fire, jealous God. So we can approach in reverent confidence, reverent boldness. Let me close my sermon with the last sentence. Our life is worship. Worship is our lifestyle, our life itself. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. How is it possible? Whatever we do, we must do it as if we were doing for Jesus to testify about Jesus. Then that action will be accepted by God as true worship. God bless all of us so that we may be found not only in church, but also in outside church, in your school, in your office, even on the street, on the market. Wherever you may be found as true worshiper of God in spirit and in truth. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we are created by your plan, for your benefit, for your pleasure. Father God, help us to know the main heart of worship is not for our benefit, but for your benefit. O Lord God, we pray honestly, our life itself may be as true worship in your presence, in your eyes. O Lord, bless all of us. Fill us with your spirit. It is possible only by the guidance of the Holy Spirit because you are spirit. Father God, we are very, very limited in our wisdom, in our understanding, in our power, but we can do anything, everything through him, that him is our Lord Jesus Christ, who strengthens us to do what you want us to do for your glory, for your kingdom, for your pleasure, for your happiness, for your full satisfaction. Lord God, also be with us with your spirit of wisdom and power and knowledge so that we may be successful and glorious for your kingdom, for your glory. Also, I pray for all who join in this worship service, Father God, whatever they are doing, wherever they may be, please be with them with your joy, with your peace, with your assurance, more than anything else, assurance of salvation, eternal life, which can be found only in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray together. in Jesus' name. Amen.